From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point, Unlimited Income Potential, Being Your Own Boss, Working from Home. Sounds great. That's the promise of today's multi-level marketing companies, and the business model is booming. More than 20 million Americans are hawking essential oils and flameless candles, skincare, jewelry, and more in a $35 billion industry. The reality, though, is often not so pretty. Most lose money. Some lose friendships. And your self-esteem can take a beating, too. This hour On Point, when everybody's selling from home. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you in this world? Have you been sucked into it through endless Facebook posts of friends wanting you to buy, to sell? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. There are lots of these companies out there these days. Your Facebook feed may be full of messages from them, from friends of yours representing them. Arbonne International is a health and beauty multi-level marketing company. One of the top-selling members of the Direct Selling Association was hit with a class action lawsuit in May alleging the company is a pyramid scheme. Here, a rep, one of those selling, speaks about why he signed up with the company.
One of the things that really surprised me most about this business was about how lucrative the compensation plan was. I mean, they offer us four different ways that we can earn income. When you sell some product, you earn a commission. When you build a team, you earn some overrides. There's the Mercedes-Benz cash bonus program, and there's also a cash bonus at every single level of management. There's really no ceiling to how big your business can be.
Lucrative, lucrative, lucrative. And here in a recruitment video, this is Sarah Robbins. She's top rep for the skincare company, Rodan and Fields, shares some of the perks of her success in the multi-level marketing biz.
When I was a teacher, I always dreamed of seeing the world, but we were so limited because of our finances. And through this profession, we've been able to see the world together, my husband and I. We've traveled to places like Maui. We're excited this month to be going to Italy. Pretty soon we'll be heading off to Bora Bora.
Boy, sounds absolutely terrific, but watch out. Joining me now from New York is reporter Alden Wicker. She spent 8 months reporting her August story for Quartz, looking at how those pulled into multi-level marketing can end up in debt and even, she writes, in psychological crisis. You can link to her story at our website, onpointradio.org. Alden Wicker, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
I know almost nothing about this arena, but I see a ton of people are in it, and I've heard the kind of testimonials that you see right there. What's going on here, Alden?
Well, you know, I think the success of the multi-level marketing companies can really be attributed to the fact that there's a lot of Americans right now who are finding themselves without economic opportunity, real economic opportunity. I think the reason why there's so many, the majority of multi-level marketing sellers are women, is the fact that there's a lot of women in rural and suburban areas who really need to make extra money or want to make extra money, but they have children, they can't find affordable health care, they need to, or childcare. They need to work out of their home. And so these multi-level marketing companies say, hey, you know what? You can work out of your home. You can make a full-time income on a part-time, doing part-time work. Mm-hmm. You can still be a wonderful mother and a wonderful wife, and you're going to make a ton of friends doing it. I mean, who wouldn't sign up for that?
I'm reading, and people are noticing this. I mean, there's a headline says, why your Facebook feed is filled with women selling essential oils and press-on nails. I mean, in some circles, it seems like I'm told every other person, often women, is selling something.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about these is that, you know, you have your friends. I mean, the way they really work is you're selling something, but if you bring in someone to sell underneath of you, you can make more money or you can make bonuses off of what they sell. So, you know, there's a lot of women who are trying to sell to their friends because you can't buy these products online or from a store. You have to buy them from a seller. And then they're also, next after that, they're trying to get you to come in underneath of them and sell underneath of them. So your whole feed ends up being filled with women who are trying to sell to you and trying to get you to sell for them. And it becomes your whole social life.
I want to hear the story that you wrote, but we've got listeners calling in already on this front, feeling the heat of so many people in multi-level marketing. Now, Christy in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Christy, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What's your experience, Christy?
I have really close friends that constantly bombard me, you know, not knowing that other women are doing this to me too, asking me to buy their products when they know, and I've explained that I can't afford to buy their $300 buy-in, you know, whether it's a weight loss product or a bunch of clothes, makeup stuff. It's just, you know, how do you go about tactfully saying no a second time?
Hey, we'll ask, Christy, what's a $300 buy-in? What does that mean?
Like a starter kit.
Okay.
You know, like to you buy a starter kit and then you have that and it's like a month's supply. And then, you know, then you have to sign up for a monthly kind of subscription to their product.
We'll get to Alden's advice, but is this becoming a social problem for you? The number of people coming at you with their particular come on friends?
It just makes me feel like, you know, that they have expectations that I can't meet for them. And so it kind of makes me not want to be around them as much because they keep, you know, talking about their products and how I should buy them when I've told them multiple times, no, I can't afford it, or, you know, no, this is not the right time for me. You know, trying to delicately tell them no,
yeah.
And it seems like it's harder and harder to continue to do that.
Christy, I'm glad you called Alden. I mean, there it is. This is right in the middle of our economy now, and it's right in the middle of social relations as well, and pressuring them.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad because these multi-level marketing companies are essentially asking you to monetize your friendships. You can't just be friends with anyone anymore. You have to constantly asking them to buy from you. And, you know, when you have been told, I mean, the really insidious thing about these things is that they sell women the idea of the hustle. You know, if you just hustle hard enough, you're gonna succeed. And when women find that, you know, they ask their friends and their friends say, no, I don't want to buy your overpriced candle or your cheap, you know, nylon leggings, they feel bad about themselves. Like, they don't look at the product they're selling and say, oh, maybe the product I'm selling is overpriced and, you know, doesn't provide value to my friends. They say, oh, well, I must be doing something wrong. Like, I must not be hustling hard enough. I must not be enthusiastic enough. Like, let me go back and see what else I can say to so I can be a successful businesswoman. And so, you know, this, you just... They come back and they say, oh, well, let me try this instead. And, you know, when it doesn't work, they blame themselves. But they're becoming increasingly desperate to sort of pay off the investment they made in becoming a seller. And so, you know, those friendships will be sacrificed because in the end, it really is just about money.
I want to understand all this. An investment in becoming a seller. The headline on your piece in Quartz is, multi-level marketing companies like LuLaRoe, one you focus on, are forcing people into debt and psychological crisis. Let's start with the debt part of that. Where does debt come into this? We heard all the tape earlier, you know, you're going to be off to Bora Bora. You're going to make millions or make a bundle.
Well, so the buy-ins to become a seller vary from company to company. The one I focused on was LuLaRoe, which is a particularly predatory multi-level marketing company that sells leggings and other sort of synthetic polyester nylon clothing. And the buy-in for that is actually $5,000.
Now, what do you mean? What are you buying in? What are you buying? If you want to sell, you have to put up $5,000 for what?
You get a box of patterned clothing. The first box that you get, you never get to choose the patterns. You get what you get. And the first box, they send you, you know, a certain number of sizes and different styles. And so you get that box, and it's $5,000 worth of wholesale clothing that you can then turn around and try to sell to your friends.
So... if you don't sell the $5,000, then you're just out the money that you spent on getting that buy-in portion of stock.
Absolutely. And what's even worse is that you have a lot of women who, you know, they're getting into this because they need to make money. They don't have $5,000 in cash to just throw down on something like this. So what happens is they say, oh, well, I'm sorry, like I can't sign up for this. I don't have $5,000. And the woman who's trying to recruit them says, oh, don't worry. Just take out a low-interest credit card. You'll pay it back within a few weeks, and then you'll start making money. It'll be fine. So a lot of these women take out credit cards in order to pay for this first buy-in.
We asked LuLaRoe to come on. They sent us a statement. It says, since LuLaRoe was founded 4 years ago, there are more than 80,000 independent fashion retailers selling LuLaRoe clothing, and the vast majority who start selling LuLaRoe clothing since our founding are still in business. This speaks volumes about the strength of the business model and the opportunity it provides individuals and their families. Alden?
I don't particularly believe that. I, you know, it's really hard to say because they're never going to crack open their books, but it's really clear from the number of going out of business sales. You know, if you just go on Facebook and type in going out of business, you can find thousands of women who are having flash sales, trying to get their inventory out the door.
LuLaRoe sellers or just all kinds of sellers?
LuLaRoe sellers, yeah.
And the debt comes because you say they're going into debt to get that first stock to be off to the races or not.
Yeah, yeah. And the problem is that so what's really clever, I guess, about LuLaRoe is the fact that you don't get to choose the patterns that they send you. They can send you anything.
The style. I mean, the pattern on the material, the clothing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of them are not very attractive. So what happens is you'll get a box full of random patterns, and a couple of them might be really cute or sort of wearable, and the rest will just be duds. But you have this phenomenon called unicorn hunting, where people are looking for the unicorns, which are the cute patterns. So it actually creates sort of like a gambling mentality of sort of sitting at a slot machine and pulling the lever and seeing like, okay, maybe something valuable will come out.
This podcast and the following message are sponsored by Blue Apron. Relationships are important. Cooking together builds strong family bonds, and Blue Apron makes cooking together fun and easy. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. So join in, get the family together, and choose your meals each week. They come to your door with pre-measured ingredients so you can spend time with your family and not at the grocery store. With the simple instructions, everyone can help prepare the meal. There's no risk. Get your first 3 meals free, plus free shipping, by visiting Blue Apron.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a whole lot of people and many women being drawn into multi-level marketing businesses, selling candles, skincare, exercise equipment, you name it, to neighbors, friends, cousins, anybody, and how that's working out. Some, well, you can hear the testimonials. They say they're doing absolutely great. Many are just plain losing, and sometimes losing friendships along the way. Alden Wicker has written about it for Quartz. She's with us from New York. You can join us as well. Are you in this world? What drew you in? What were the promises, the portrayals of how would it be? And how's it working out for you? Are you making money, losing money? Are you leaning on your friends, straining friendships? Have you made big money or lost big money? Of course, there's plenty of history here. Avon, Amway, Avon's been doing this for a long time, one of the very first multi-level marketing companies. And though sales have fallen pretty dramatically for that company in the last few years, the world's second largest, it's trying to modernize its image. Here's its newest commercial, set to the melody of Gloria Gaynor's 1978 hit, I Will Survive. She's a boss, and we hope it works out great for everybody. Alden Wicker has found circumstances where that is not so true, and we will hear more. Lynn is calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Lynn, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. As I was saying a minute ago, my complaint about these multi-level marketing programs is they seem to prey on desperate people, and people who may not be in a position to work full-time, and it financially devastates many families, and as I stated before, it's often very damaging to family and family relationship and friendship.
I don't know your story. Has your family had experience of this, Lynn?
Yes. It happened with my late father, and he over probably a 25-year period, was involved in one multi-level marketing scheme after another. And I heard someone talk about the buy-in. Those are pretty much status quo. A lot of the companies require that you buy a minimum amount of the product every month to continue in the program, to sell the item. And it was just one scenario after another.
What kind of products did he sell, and what kind of money did he spend buying in?
It was mostly vitamins.
Okay.
And, of course, he did get into some of the cleaning product lines. That was typically what he was involved in.
And how deep did he get in, Lynn, money-wise?
He was well in over $100,000 is what my stepmother told me after the time he passed away.
Holy smokes. And he invested that much? Did he get that much out of it? Or was that lost or what?
That was lost money just over the years, borrowing money to buy in, get involved in these programs. It's the get rich quick promise, you know, dream. I think these companies do often prey on vulnerable, desperate people.
Lynn, I really appreciate your call, and I'm sorry for your family's experience right there. I mean, the appeal is something quite different. Here's Sarah Robbins again with the Rodin and Fields. Got in early. I think she's the most highly paid rep for them now. And says in this recruitment video for others to come in that with hard work, anyone can make that American dream come true.
This business is for anyone who's coachable, hungry, and looking for a vehicle for change. We teach and train one another to achieve success, to reach our goals, and ultimately achieve our dreams.
Alden Wicker has been writing about this for Quartz. Bonnie Patton follows it as well. She's an attorney, executive director of Truth in Advertising. Her organization educates the public about deceptive marketing. She's testified before Congress and helped the FTC in bringing class action lawsuits against multi-level marketing companies. She joins us from New Haven, Connecticut. Bonnie, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
What do you know about this industry? If you look across the country, just anecdotally, it seems as though it's just barreling along. What about the number of people getting into this and how they're doing, Bunny?
Well, it actually is disproportionately advertised on social media, and the number of people isn't as great as it may seem to all of us that have Facebook feeds.
Okay.
But no doubt these companies are trying to sell hope to the hopeless, as Lynn was recounting. And their message is very alluring and really strikes a chord with a lot of disenfranchised people.
Do you have numbers on the number getting in, the number making good with these promises?
So, yes, generally right now or last year, there were a little over 5 million people that were trying to build their own independent multi-level marketing businesses. There's another 15 million plus people that are said to be joining these companies for the discount on the products. But others would argue that that number of 15 million plus is just failed distributors, people that are losing money.
You know, I'm looking here, Alden, you wrote about LuLaRoe, and they sent us this statement. They say LuLaRoe's pioneering social retail structure sets us apart. Our entire compensation model is based entirely on retail sales. And for those who this business is not the right fit or may be looking for a different opportunity, our cancellation policy includes a generous inventory return option. So what's the problem? Generous inventory return option, Alden.
Well, it's interesting that they say that it's based entirely on retail sales because they actually changed that in the course of writing the story, while I was writing the story. So
it changed from what to what?
So a lot of multi-level marketing companies, the reason why they're so bad for these retailers is that the compensation model is actually based on the bonus compensation model is based on what you buy from the company instead of what you sell. So you could never sell anything and you still might make a bonus if you are buying enough from the company. It's called inventory loading. And so these companies don't actually care whether or not you're successful, because as long as you're buying stuff from them, they, you know, they get their income. LuLaRoe used to be like that, but they changed the policy so that it was based on retail sales instead. But that was long after they had started.
They say, like any business, we're constantly evolving and looking to better serve independent fashion retailers. We're confident in our vision and values and see great things ahead. Bonnie, is this still an expanding business, or was this something that grew out of the recession when people were desperate to find some way to make some cash?
It's definitely been expanding, especially with the advent of the internet and social media platforms. More people can be reached using, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, what have you. So we're seeing it expanding at a pretty quick pace.
Abigail in Charlotte, North Carolina. Abigail, thank you for calling. What's your story?
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I have a great story about network marketing. I started in college. I'm a few years past my initial college days, wink, wink. And I want to state that I have had tremendous success. Me and my brother have been the most enterprising of our families. And one of the disconnects that I see with people, first of all, I taught and trained my teams that I've built. First of all, you have to know how to evaluate a network marketing company. And a lot of novices who they state are desperate and disgruntled, just, you know, are excited about the sound of it, but they are not truly enterprising people. I've always been number one in sales throughout my career. I've always been self-motivated and self-driven. And I've made thousands. And I've got friends who've made a few million, okay? No joke. And I think it's a disconnect when you all go and try to criticize the industry at large and start pending lawsuits, because people are going to multi-level marketing companies every day in their jobs, their J-O-B, that don't allow them the tax write-offs, that don't allow them the opportunity for freedom. And again, we know there's some bad apples that spoil the bunch. And first of all, that entry-level number of 5,000 is too excessive. The most our companies have ever required are about $500. And people that want to invest more can do so, but you've got to understand the timing of a network marketing company. You've got to understand the stages and phases, and then you've got to understand the viability of the product and or services you're marketing. So when you understand all those five elements, there are five stages of network marketing, and when people get to saturation and everybody knows it, then it's often too late to really get the growth and the development of the company. So early timing is very imperative. And then
you can end up at the top of the pyramid, Abigail, so that a lot of other sellers are feeding residuals back to you?
Well, yeah, the strange part is, Tom, pyramids are illegal in and of themselves. There has to be an exchange of value. And so my point is, people go to Amazon and buy without thinking. People go and buy from everybody else, and then you say you can't support your friend. And I understand earlier, you don't want to harass your friend and make your friendships go to waste. I've had some friends who weren't as enterprising. They didn't necessarily want to do the business. I say I love them. Some of them buy one thing, and I'll keep going. I've met thousands of people who were like-minded with that same mentality in that environment. No, everybody's not going to make a ton of money. But I tell you, I've made thousands, and it has been truly a tremendous experience. And for people that are enterprising and entrepreneurial spirited, it is one of the best opportunities possible. So
Abigail, we've got it. Let me take it to Bonnie Patton. Bonnie, what do you say to Abigail's story out of Charlotte?
I say that this is an anecdotal experience of a very successful MLMer, but the median annual gross income for the MLM distributor is $2,400, and that's median. Most people that join an MLM, and I don't care which one it is,
multi-level marketing company,
are going to lose money, and that's just the way it is.
Well, you have statistical evidence of that?
Well, yes, the one being that the gross median income is $2,400. So that's before you're buying your initial starter pack. That's before you're buying your monthly product or services to qualify for bonuses, plus your time. I mean, I think most people will make more money at a full-time job at McDonald's than they will as a MLM distributor.
Alden, you hear in our caller Abigail's call, I mean, she's on fire for this. You can hear the patter. She's got it, and she says it's worked for her.
Well, I think it's interesting she alluded to the fact that she's been doing this for a really long time and she's made thousands. And if she was so successful, I feel like she would make more than just thousands over such a long time. I mean, yeah, sure, you can make thousands of dollars if you work 80 hours a week for a whole year. Or you could get a job that pays you, you know, a fair wage for the work that you're doing to sell their product. I really don't like the way a lot of these companies sort of take one half of the equation, which is work hard and sell that to women without saying the other half of the equation, which is ask for what you're worth.
Jessica, also in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jessica, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Alden. I was calling because I have many stay-at-home mom friends who are really highly educated. They have master's degrees. Prior to staying at home with their kids, they were pharmaceutical reps. One was an ABA therapist.
Yeah.
And now they're all involved in multi-level marketing, and it just shocks me. And I'm wondering why legitimate companies like Google or Apple or something are not recruiting from this market, creating flexible jobs for women who want to stay at home.
I mean, maybe, maybe Jessica, this is how they're trying to straddle the difficult situation of having a family and having an income.
Right, and I'm wondering why, you know, these are really proven women. They are very talented. They're very bright. It seems like an untapped resource that other companies maybe aren't aware of. Maybe haven't looked into. I'm wondering why we're not creating this flexible workspace for women who do want to work, who are at home, who have kids.
Interesting question. Alden, is this evidence of our failure to create work arrangements that let, you know, talented women have an income and a family at the same time?
Absolutely. I mean, if you can't, if you're looking at the possibility of paying almost as much for childcare as you would earn working part-time or full-time, and you're offered an opportunity to, quote-unquote, be your own boss, then and also make friends at the same time. I mean, I talk to women who, just like she was saying, have a master's degree, and they're not only not earning, you know, they want to earn money, they're also bored. You know, they're bored and they're isolated. So, you know, a company coming to them and saying, hey, you can work from home, like, on your computer by yourself is going to lose out in the value proposition versus someone who says, you know, you can work from home and you can have a party in your home and you can invite women over, other cool moms like you, and you're going to have a community of women. I mean, that was one of the big things that I heard from women. There was, they said the only thing they really got out of LuLaRoe was making friends. And that's a huge thing.
But your headline says psychological crisis. That doesn't sound like making friends.
Yeah. So, you know, initially, especially at the beginning of LuLaRoe, where there wasn't yet market saturation, when you would sign up, you would automatically get this sort of group, this community of women who wanted to help you and, you know, really supportive. And you'd talk to them all day and, you know, have parties and it'd be really fun. And then it got to the point where it was starting to get more and more saturated and there were more and more women in your town or your community selling these things. And you would come on and everyone would sort of give you the side eye because, oh, no, another seller who's competing with us. And then when you get to the point where you start saying, hey, so, you know, I'm in debt. I can't afford this anymore. Hey, you know, my stuff is not selling and I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. Then you start getting the, no, you're just not, you're not good enough. You're not trying hard enough. This is your fault. You know, there's something wrong with you. You're bad at this. Sorry you couldn't hack it. What's wrong with you? That's really unchristian of you to say. How could you be unsupportive of us by talking negatively about this company? I mean, it really comes at you hard. And it's hard for women who rely on, who had come to rely on these communities of women to look at it and say, hey, maybe something's wrong with this company, when you have all these women surrounding you saying, nope, your fault. This is your fault.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. And we're talking this hour about a whole lot of people, many women, being drawn into multi-level marketing businesses, selling all kinds of stuff these days to neighbors, friends, cousins, anybody. You may see it in your Facebook feed. You can join us this hour. Is this you? And have you made big money, lost big money? Why are so many people doing this today? Is this social media, Facebook age, monetizing of friendship? Have you done this and felt supported by the companies running these, or have you been left holding the bag? Have you struggled and been told it's your fault? Herbalife, global multi-level marketing company, 3 million plus distributors, 95 countries, came under investigation in 2014 after hedge fund manager Bill Ackman claimed it was a sophisticated pyramid scheme. In 2016, they had a $200 million fine from the federal government. They agreed to change the business model. Here's a commercial. Distributors giving them the reasons why they signed on.
Why Herbalife? Because you get to be your own boss, earn extra money,
work from home,
raise your own children,
you can name your own hours,
make part-time or full-time money,
paying the bills,
share this video with 10 people
that you care about, that you love, that you adore, that you admire,
20 people, 30 people,
come on, what are you waiting for?
100 people, share with everybody, they want what we have, we got it.
Sign them up and off you go. This Herbalife, that was a big honking fine that they paid. $200 million was the fine. Bonnie Patton is with us from Truth in Advertising. Alden Wicker is with us. She's been writing about multi-level marketing direct selling for Quartz. Christina Hinks joins us right now from McHenry, Illinois, former LuLaRoe distributor. She has a blog called Mommy Giver. She's written pretty critically about the company and shared stories of other disgruntled distributors. Last week, the company sued her to give them the names of the critics. Her first court date is next Tuesday. Christina Hinks, thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Fine. What was your problem with this whole setup?
Well, how much time do you have? There's a lot with the setup. Starting with Alden's point where they require a minimum of $5,000 investment. But my experience with them actually wasn't really what triggered me to write extensively about it. I didn't have that awful of a personal experience. It was more once I shared why I was exiting, how many women then came forward to me to tell me about why they needed to exit. That's what prompted the writing.
And what were those stories like?
Oh, goodness. Anything and everything from my upline was threatening me, belittling me, to pressuring me to order mass amounts of product every single week.
Upline, this is the one above you in the structure.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Order every single week, or, you know, you're a failure, you're stale, you don't know how to do a business. If you can't sell leggings, why are you even alive? I mean, from abuse like that to I invested all of my money, couldn't pay my mortgage, I'm now living in my car with two children. I mean, it just, the stories were wide in range and all equally heartbreaking.
The company is now suing you to give them the names of people who told you that they'd had a tough experience?
Yeah, technically it's not a lawsuit. It's a legal action to compel me to produce my sources for them, yes.
What, so they can refute your claims or go after them, or do you even know why?
They weren't specific in the filing. They had told me that they were interested in either pursuing me or these people for either defamation or, you know, tortious interference. I mean, I've had several communications with them prior to this, and you know, they were under the impression initially that I had stolen information. I guess they weren't arguing the validity of it. They were more contesting how I came about it. I think that they plan on either retaliating against me if I couldn't produce the sources or going after those individuals, which is frightening. They've already lost everything. What could LuLaRoe possibly take from them?
Christina, there's so many different companies selling, you know, pushing so many kinds of products through these kinds of structures now, skincare and adhesive nail designs and jewelry and sex toys and weight loss pills. What do you think is pushing so many people into this if they're not having success?
Well, I definitely think that there's some level of success to be measured, but I think that the qualifiers for that are very, very skewed. Where I agree and I disagree with some of our previous contributors, I think that, you know, timing is a factor. I think saturation in the marketplace for that particular brand or that particular product. I mean, how many makeup companies are out there? How many people are out there trying to do the exact same thing you are? I think that's really what it comes down to, is that if you're the only person, for example, with LuLaRoe in a 10-mile radius, you would probably have better success or chance at success than, you know, if, like in my situation, there were three people within a few miles of me. But, you know, then the other factors come into play. How business savvy are you? How, you know, motivated are you? How much knowledge do you have of the industry? You know, how can you approach people? Do you have a wide network? There's so many factors. You really can't predict or indicate how successful a person is going to be.
Got to move those leggings. Jessica in Chesapeake, Virginia. Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks Hi. For taking my call.
Yeah, what's your experience?
Hi. So I wanted to give a little bit of my personal experience with a little bit separate from LuLaRoe, but it was a vitamin company, and a good friend of mine that she was really into health called me, hey, I really think these will be great for you, and you have, you know, vitamins for your kids, all this thing, these things you can have. And so I was like, okay, great. And so before I ordered, she kept saying, hey, I want to get on a call with you, a conference call. And so I'm like, okay, well, I found some time to, you know, get that call going. And I'm on the call, end up being on a call with her and the person she works for, who I've never met, telling me that I would be a great candidate to sell this product. And I was like, I haven't even got it in the mail yet. You know, I haven't tested the product. I don't feel comfortable. And I feel a lot of these companies prey on people who are uncomfortable with saying no.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to say no. And it's more of a huge popularity thing where you have these people saying, oh my gosh, have you heard about these leggings? They're so great. And then people trying them on. Me, for example, I tried them on and I was like, this is not anything to write home about. These are not worth anything, you know, money to me. I never bought them because I didn't personally like them.
You said and no, but the heat was on right away, or the invitation, the very active invitation for you to join in the selling circle, Jessica.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of people are very uncomfortable with saying, no, you know, I don't have the money or I don't have the time and or the commitment. And it really just seems to be it just blows up as a popularity item. Everybody starts talking about it, and then everybody just blindly kind of follows this trend of something that may or may not be the best quality or may not be the best thing.
Jessica, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Let me get one more. Mike in Syracuse, New York. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm well. What do you know, Mike?
Hey, so I just wanted to comment and say that not only does this affect friends, this loops family members in as well. So you'll be hanging out on the holidays, and I'm hanging out with my wife, who got involved in a few of these marketing level teams, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll small talk during Thanksgiving, and then the next topic will be instantly, hey, how much are you ordering this month? And it's really sad to see, because like your last person you had on the air said, it's really hard for these girls to say no, even when they're in especially when they're in the family relationship.
And this is friends or family, and pretty soon you're feeling that you've got to put the arm on them or put the question, what are you going to buy from me?
Absolutely, and it can be thousands of dollars.
Has your wife been all right with that, Mike, or has it been tough for her?
It's been really hard, because there is no money being made, and she's tried a bunch of these different businesses. There's a lot of companies. She's tried them all, and you can get really in debt. And she actually, she's at no money lost or earned right now. And that took years to be able to get back to that point.
Back to zero. Why this instead of a job? Because it seems appealing to do it from home? Or what's the, or she thinks she'll be off to Bora Bora next month or what?
No, well, see, I'm in the generation where we were graduating college during the financial recession.
Yeah.
And, you know, I graduated, and Chuck Schumer spoke at my graduation, and he said, pretty much in so many words, you guys have it really hard. We're in a recession right now. So when we got out of college, there was no jobs, and we had to work really hard. We both had jobs now, but it was during a period where you were just doing anything you could to make any money.
Yeah, we understand that, Mike, and we wish you both well, and we appreciate your calling and sharing your story. Bonnie Patton, I mean, the president, Donald Trump, has his own experience in multi-level marketing. He was a pitch man for a company called ACN that sold video phones back in the Great Recession. Trust me, it's changing everything. He promised in a 2009 promotional video there, believe me, it's ultimately a dream come true. Is there a change in attitude toward these companies with the new administration and oversight, Bonnie?
I think there's absolutely more support for the MLM industry with the new administration. But I think the point remains that while there might be some positives to MLMs like self-improvement or a ready-made organization of like-minded individuals, the point is that none of these MLMs should be marketing themselves as a way to financial freedom. That is just an out-and-out lie. It's not going to happen for the vast majority of distributors.
Alden, you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to talk about the current administration, Betsy DeVos is married to a top brass at Amway, and Ben Carson supports Manatech. Manatech, it's one of the I think it's vitamins. It's another health one.
Okay.
There's a lot of those. So I don't think they're going anywhere. The FTC was about to apply some of the rules that apply to franchises to multi-level marketing companies and saying that, if you're a multi-level marketing company and you're recruiting people to sell for you, you need to give them all the information they need to make a decision about whether or not it's right for them. So all the multi-level marketing companies got all of their sellers to call in and say that it was, or leave a call in with a comment and say it was bad for them. 17,000 comments against these new rules. And so the FTC never made that happen. So now, there's really no good way to tell if a multi-level marketing company is right for you or not, because they don't really have to tell you anything about, some of them sort of throw out income disclosure statements every once in a while just to cover their butts. But there's really no way to look at it and say, I've run the numbers and I think this is a good idea or not. You're just sort of going into it blindly and trusting the woman down the street who says that she's making a bunch of money.
Carla in Chesapeake, Virginia. Carla, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. It starts out with Mary Kay with it's a $100 decision. And do you ask your husband, does he spend $100 on any one of his hobbies or anything else like that? And then once you get in, you are bombarded with, you can't sell from an empty wagon. And how much can you afford? And can you stretch a little bit more? And by the time you finish stretching, you've ordered. And then you're bothering your friends and literally bothering your friends. You're calling them backwards and forwards and you're saying, well, you can have a party for me. All it's going to take is about an hour of your time. And in truth, your friends start to avoid you.
Wow. Yeah, I can see how it happens. I mean, Christina, do you see this as somehow being cranked up in the social media age where people are on Facebook and that feed is just full of these come-ons?
Yes, absolutely. But, the caller had a really good point. She talked about going into Mary Kay and having, the sort of like the heat turned on. I having direct discussions with a lot of these companies from a corporate level, I have a lot of interesting feedback. And a lot of it, I really don't feel, and I don't want to, excuse any of the companies that do have that behavior on a corporate level. But I do notice that a lot of the feedback that I get tends to come from like those downlines, the leaders that are the independent contractors leading the independent reps. And I feel like where some people would have with, like Mary Kay, for example, a really good experience where they weren't forced to buy any inventory or pushed into anything, then you go down the street and talk to somebody else who's under a different upline. And she's told that she's forced, to order thousands of dollars at a time. And I just feel like I think it really depends on the sort of human factor to the company, what the individual leadership is doing. And because that's really not policed, I think that's really the beginning breeding ground for the advantage taken of an unwitting participant.
One more caller here, Suzanne in Aiken, South Carolina. Suzanne, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Love your show. Listen to it every morning.
Great.
I wasn't a distributor in the 90s in South Florida, worked for a health and wellness distributor.
A multi-level marketing company. Yeah, yeah.
Correct, multi-level marketing. And I was on the corporate side. I wasn't a distributor.
Okay.
I talked to people every day about the product and sent checks out, sometimes for $90,000 a month.
To an individual who had made that much money. Wow, okay.
Yes, you're talking about the 10 top distributors of the company that would rent out hotel room banquet halls to fill. I mean, they, you know, dedicated their life every day to this.
And what about the average, or in the main, what was it like, that monthly check, if anything?
Again, the average $300 a month to the housewife that's sitting home, to maybe $800, $900, you know, yes.
Were most people making or losing money, Suzanne?
At the time, most people were making it, at the time. You know, the frenzy was big. After it dies down, though, the bottom line is, the goal is to get as many people underneath you as possible. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. That's where your checks come in. As many people underneath as possible. The product was legit and very good product, actually, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are scams, there are not. But the average, you know, very part-time. You needed to work full-time otherwise. This was just a hobby, you know, for most. But the top 10 distributors were, you know, spending money to make the money, renting out rooms, renting out seminar places.
Oh, boy.
You know, continually,
And that's where the big draw comes from. People look at those and they say, that's where I want to go. And on down the line, you've got all kinds of Facebook posts, and everybody knows who's in and who's selling and who in their friend circle and who wants them to come for a party. And we have got a kind of whirlwind of this with us right now. The number is very big. Christina Hinks has been in the middle of it and joined us today from McHenry, Illinois, with her story. And Christina, we are grateful for that. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bonnie Patton, in the midst of this, as Executive Director of Truth in Advertising. Bonnie, thank you for your insights today.
Thank you, Tom. My pleasure.
And Alden Wicker has been writing it up for Quartz. You can read her story at our website, onpointradio.org. Alden, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Good luck. Buyer beware, seller beware too, I guess. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.